Our message this morning is titled God's Purpose for Believers. And our text is from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to his to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all being killed. We are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What a powerful text. I want to let you know that in Scripture, these first 8 verses of Romans is set up for doctrine. And all of a sudden, now we leave and go into 9, 10, and 11, which is about on the history, the past, the present, and so forth. And now I find it so good that he ends chapter 8 with that nothing can separate us from the love of God. This message today is about knowing God's purpose for ourselves and God and how God wants us to know his love. Our text includes God's purpose for believers. Secondly, his wonderful love. And third, the inseparable love of Christ. We begin with Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This section of Scripture is speaking to Christians. Those who know and believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Those who know they are sinners. They know that Christ died for their sins and that Jesus was raised for their justification. Do you know and believe in your heart, in your soul and your mind that Jesus died for you? Now the verse starts, we know, which means it is common knowledge of the Christian. Common knowledge. And I think as I go through this verse, is it common knowledge? Or is this something we need to grow in, to realize deep within ourselves? Do you know that God causes all things to work together for good? Do you know that in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind, all things? As you go through this word today, you will see some. Go through this message, you'll see some of these things. God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. You can see it's written towards Scripture. It's written towards Christians. To those who love God and to those who are called. This verse applies only to Christians. Because it's to those who love him and are called. Without faith in Christ, we cannot know. And with faith in Christ, it is still hard to know. that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. This verse implies the good, the bad, the hard things, the happy things, the sad, it's prosperity and poverty, health, sickness, when we're comfortable, when we're suffering, life, death, cancer, accidents, shootings. It implies all things are working together for good. Isn't that precious to understand? We are to know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Job, who went through so many sufferings in the book of God, we can see that in the book of Job, all that he went through in his life. But Job knew that all things work together for good, and he trusted God. Do we trust God? Do you? You know, we trust God when we find out how real he is to us. Job said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, I will hope in him, and nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. Job knew he could plead his case before God, just like King David did. As he goes through the book of Psalms, David is pleading his case before God, just like Abraham pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah. We can plead our case before God. When we get sick, we can plead our case, help me, God. Just like Wanda, I'm sure you plead your case when you're hurting your back, hurting before God. You're pleading your case. We can plead before him. He hears us and he answers us as we sang this morning. Look at Joseph. I think Joseph is one of the best examples in Scripture. Joseph was a forerunner of Christ in that he suffered and saved his people. How did he save his people? Because they had 7 good years of plenty, and when he was in charge, he told them to save all this food so that when they had 7 bad years, there was food to feed the people, because God gave him direction. But listen to Joseph. Joseph was hated by his brothers. Hated. His brothers threw him into a pit, then sold him into slavery. Later, he was thrown into prison unjustly. But through all of this, he became Pharaoh's right-hand man. As Joseph looked back over his life with all the disappointments and sufferings he endured, he could still say to his brothers, I think this is one of the most important things in Scripture. With everything he endured, he could still say to his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. Isn't that precious? Is that not what goes out and says that God causes all things to work together for good? And it's what he did with Joseph.
So our Sunday school lesson today was about that. So can the kids tell you that what Joseph did with his brothers? He forgave them.
Yes, he did. That was a good part. He forgave them. Good. You remember that. And we need to have an attitude of forgiveness towards everybody. We need to forgive just as God has forgiven us in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. So we need to be forgiving. But Joseph could say to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Joseph knew that God caused all things to work together for good to those who love God. We as children of God will be able to look back on our life someday and say that all things work together for good. You know, I can say that. I've gone through cancer. I'm in my 3rd different kind of cancer. I've been on chemotherapy in the past where I just shook and shook. It was an experimental kind of thing they gave, and they never gave it again after that experiment was done. It was terrible. But you know, I learned a lesson. I learned that the next time I go through this chemotherapy, when I went through this one, they asked, do you want another one? And I says, no, I realized you should take one. It was a good thing to learn. But all things work together for good. But we will be able to look back on our life someday and say that all things work together for good. We may not have thought it was good when it was happening, but it worked out for good. You wait and see. You know, God can bring a tragedy to you. And there was something that was God had planned that would be for good. Even though it's hard, this is the faith we need to have in God. Knowing that all things work together for good. And you believe that today. In this here COVID environment that we're in, God's got a plan. And God will be in control. And God knows best. There are two groups of people today. There are the saved and there are the lost. In John chapter 1, 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. As many as received Jesus Christ are children of God. Christ died for everyone. You know, not everybody has received him. It says in John chapter 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it talks about Jesus, and it says, he himself is the propitiation. He's the atonement for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus died, he died for everyone. But not all have received him. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The elect or the chosen are the whoever wills. The lost are the whoever won'ts. The lost have not chosen to accept Christ as their Savior. And I know you can go through life and you know people who have not accepted. And they have not accepted because they didn't want to accept. I have come across people and I've tried to talk to them and they don't want to hear of it. I know this one friend. He was going to go have something done. And he says, no, be real quiet and we got to have good karma. Yeah, he did not know Christ. He did not want a prayer. He just wanted good karma. We need to know Jesus Christ. And if you have not accepted him today, make today the day you accept him as your Savior and your Lord. The second point of our message today is God's wonderful love, verses 30 to 33, and how he sanctifies us, how he sets us apart for God. Verse 30 says, and whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he justified, and these he glorified. Isn't that precious what God has done and is doing in our lives? Verse 30 talks of sanctification. Sanctification is when God and the Holy Spirit are working to make us holy and to set us apart for God. Sanctification is a work of God in the heart of the life of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Everyone who believes in Jesus, God is at work in them. Yes, I don't care where your faith is at, if it's here or way up over there. If you believe in Jesus, God is at work in you. He is. How are we justified? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Jesus has justified us and washed us. He has washed our sins clean by his blood. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus had to die and he had to bleed for us. With his blood, Our sins have been washed clean. You remember that. With the blood of Christ, your sins have been washed clean. We are justified by faith before God the Father by Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. We have been justified by faith, as it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Such a wonderful verse, and people miss the meaning of this. I went over it in Bible study this week. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's so important as we look through Scripture. It's peace with God the Father. And that's why Jesus had to die for us. We are being sanctified and made ready for our wedding. Do you realize that? Today in our text, we are reading about the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ. We are the bride. We're going to be married to Christ. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 22. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us his glory, it says. He has prayed that we would have glory. Do you realize that? We have the glory of Christ in us because Jesus has prayed for it. The glory of the Lord shines in us. And others should see that glory. We shouldn't hide it under a bushel, as the psalm says, right? We shouldn't hide it. We should let others see it. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to have confidence in God and be secure in Him. This verse speaks so much of God's love. If God is for us, no one can be against us. No one. I love this wonderful verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I used a little bit last week, and today I want to use more. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. We have God in us. We have Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And where the Son is, the Father is also. Praise God for that. As you go home today, you praise God that the Son and the Holy Spirit live in you. They do. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the dead so we could be just before God through faith in him. God will give us everything we need in this life and in the life to come. Do you believe that? It's Paul said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God is going to supply all of our needs. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. We as God's elect, his children, are justified sinners. We are justified sinners through faith in Jesus Christ. God justifies us sinners and has made us saints. Saints so we can exalt Christ. That's what a saint does. A saint's not special. A saint is one who exalts Jesus Christ. The final point of our message today is the inseparable love of Christ and of God our Father. Verse 34 says, who is one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. In this verse, we have an extension of the definition of the gospel from 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Christ has removed all condemnation. What that means is all judgment. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When we are in Christ, God doesn't judge us. He doesn't condemn us because we are in Christ. He sees Christ in us. The work of Christ is one, that Christ died for us. He died for our sins. Two, that Christ was raised from the dead for our justification. And three, he is seated at the right hand of God from where he shall judge the living and the dead. And four, Christ is interceding right now to the Father on our behalf. Did you pray this morning for yourself? Did you pray for yourself this morning? If you didn't, do you know who did? Christ. Christ is interceding for us right now. And even if you forgot to pray for yourself, Christ is praying for you today. In fact, he already prayed for you and is praying for you continually. He is praying for you according to the will of God the Father. In verse 34:5, it says, who shall separate us from the love of God, our love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Everything imaginable is mentioned here, and nothing is able to separate us from the love of Christ our Lord. Remember that. If you've done something wrong, whatever you do, if you have a bad thought, nothing is able to separate you from the love of Christ. Because that's what God says. God says it, not me. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us, it says. Christ died for us. We've been bought with a price. We've been bought with his precious blood, and we are his. We've been bought with his precious blood, and we are his. Praise God. Verse 36 says, if you stand for Christ, it will cost you something. Too often it's not costing us anything because we're too quiet and don't want anybody to know we're a Christian. But when we stand for Christ, it will cost us. Verse 37, but in all of these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We are able to conquer temptation, persecution. All these things mentioned in verse 35 through Christ. Christ gets the honor and he gets the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do all things. Yes, amen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not us. As we learn in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. We live today because of Christ, and Christ is in us. The victory is not ours, but Christ and the Holy Spirit's that are at work in us. Now, Paul and the Holy Spirit end with two verses that say that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want you today, this week, go back and look at Romans 8, 38 and 39. What precious verses. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. God will cause all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Death does not separate us from God. It brings us home. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. We can be and should be totally secure in Christ Jesus our Lord. Totally secure in Christ. God's love is truly a gift of His grace. Our salvation is a love story. And with Christ and the Holy Spirit, we are always growing in the love of God. We are saved by God's grace, and we are kept by God's grace. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for this word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd put it into our hearts, our souls, and our minds, knowing that you are there for us. You are guiding and directing us. And that all things will work together for good to those who love you and to those who are called according to your purpose. For our communion this morning,